This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. While literary prizes in the United States aren't quite as glamorous as the Booker in the UK or the Prix Goncourt in France, they are just as important to publishers and bookworms. Perhaps none is more critical than the prizes judged by professional readers, the National Book Critics Circle. A few weeks ago, the NBCC announced 30 finalists in six categories: autobiography, biography, criticism, fiction, nonfiction, and poetry. And here to speak to us today about the awards and the books are Michelle Filgate and Eric Banks. Michelle Filgate is events coordinator at Community Bookstore in Brooklyn, also a writer and a critic and a member of the NBCC. Always great to speak with you, Michelle. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Virginia.
Eric Banks is with us today. He's a board member and past president of the NBCC. Eric, thank you for joining us as well.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Eric, a little bit on how the books are nominated and chosen for the NBCC. I think of book critics having to review all kinds of books. How do they divvy up these six categories?
Well, we do review. Our board of directors, which is comprises 24 critics selected by the members of the NBCC, break down into different categories at the beginning of each year, so that each of the six categories has a committee of reader critics. And over the course of the year, we nominate books that we think are potential finalists and award winners. And over the course of that year, we have ongoing discussions among the committee members about all these books. We probably look at each category in somewhere between 100 and 150 titles.
Wow.
We go through a remarkable number of books. But what makes the NBCC Awards different from some other national awards is that the books have to be brought forward by the critics rather than nominated by a publishing house.
So how do the publishing houses play a role? Do they try and advance them to the critics and give them special attention the same way we hear about Oscar voters getting feted and wined and dined? And
yes. Sometimes we get packets of money. Sometimes there are narcotics involved. It's really a very nice award in that I think for, you know, probably 9 months out of the year when critics who are on the board are discussing these books, we're having the books come through to us in galley form. You know, we do receive finished copies, but they're the books that we're actually writing about. And I should say that, each board member probably serves on 3 to 4 committees. There's a minimum of two, but if you're serving, for example, on the biography committee, which I did this year, you're looking at some very fat books and a great number of them. It's a lot of work to get through this many titles, mm-hmm. but I think a really worthwhile and a wonderful thing to do, to have the privilege to do.
Right. We get to read, right? Michelle, on the other end, you work in a bookstore. Are these prizes and awards important to your customers?
Absolutely. I think that every literary prize is important, and that was one of the reasons so many booksellers were so upset when I think it was last year or the year, or 2 years ago, that there wasn't a Pulitzer awarded for fiction.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, these prizes matter. People want to read books that are given this praise. Our customers, especially, I work at Community Bookstore in Park Slope in Brooklyn. We have a very well-read customer base, and they really like recommendations from the staff, but they also turn to smart publications like the New York Times and the LA Review of Books to determine what they should read. And since the NBCC awards are chosen by professional book critics, you know you're getting something that's been really vetted. I mean, these are people who are professional readers for a living. And so that's why I think the NBCC of all of the awards is the one that readers can really trust.
And this board of critics gives a prize for criticism, which is a really interesting category, obviously, given the population. And especially since so many newspapers have killed or drastically reduced their book sections and paid critics over the past few years. This year also, BuzzFeed infamously said it would not allow bad reviews. So, Eric, tell us about the criticism category. What's nominated?
Well, that's an interesting question, because I think that criticism is always one of the most interesting of our six awarding categories. This year, the finalists are books by Hilton Alls, who's a New Yorker writer,
mm-hmm.
entitled White Girls. A wonderful collection by a British critic and classicist named Mary Beard, titled Confronting the Classics. We have an interesting, very interesting, controversial project by Jonathan Franzen called The Krauss Project, which comprises a series of translations that Franzen, who's of course so well known as a novelist, undertook with a couple of other, with a Germanist from Ohio State and a an Austrian author. But it's very heavily annotated, each of the translations, in a very sort of contentious set of arguments about the way that we live as writers now and as authors now, and particularly about the deleterious effect of Twitter on our way of communicating. Janet Malcolm's collection, 41 False Starts, which is an amazing collection on writing on writers and artists by one of the greats of literary nonfiction of the last 50 years. And a fascinating book by Franco Moretti, professor at Stanford, called Distant Reading, which is in many ways about the effect of big data on the way that we do academic literary criticism. He'll argue that we've focused for a long time on close reading and how way to understand a novel. And actually the way to understand a novel is to look at the results that you might get from feeding a computer 200 novels written between 1860 and 1865, which he'll argue none of us can read.
Eric Banks, you sound very excited about this, but you know, it's difficult to get people excited about criticism, isn't it? It's not a very hot-selling genre in general.
No, and I think that it's one of the categories that we're really proud that we can pay attention to. Fiction and nonfiction are obviously much more popular. You know, I think that these are exemplary because they show us, on the one hand, where criticism might be going. They show us also ways that we can think and talk about the literature that's being produced today. And finally, I think that they also can make us think just what criticism is. We always look for books. We have a kind of thing that we like to see for books that are really questioning, you know, what it means to be a novel today, what it means to be a work of nonfiction today, category by category. And criticism is one of the really fascinating categories for books because you frequently have people writing things that on the face of it may not look like traditional criticism, but are really teaching us about how one might go about reinventing the form.
If I could just chime in for a second, as someone who's a bookseller and working on a book that involves criticism, I think that books about criticism are more important now than ever and are more popular now than ever. If you look at one specific example right now, Rebecca Meads, the New Yorker staff writer, her book My Life in Middlemarch is getting tons of attention right now. And it's all about how one book changed her life. And it's a blend of biographical and cultural criticism and personal narrative. So it's just one example of how people are talking about books of criticism.
We're talking about the National Book Critics Circle nominees and soon-to-be awards, considered kind of the creme de la creme of literary prizes here in the United States. Michelle Philgate with us. She works at Community Bookstore in Brooklyn. She's a writer and critic and a member of the NBCC. So is Eric Banks, former editor-in-chief for Book Forum and former senior editor of Art Forum. He's a board member and past president of the NBCC, which choose these awards. Well, Eric, you mentioned the several big fat books in the biography category this year, and I recognize the names of the topics anyway, Lawrence in Arabia, Jonathan Swift, Bach, and Marianne Moore. I don't recognize this one, though, Mark Thompson's Birth Certificate, the story of Danilo Kish. Who is Kish?
Kish is a really interesting writer who came from then Yugoslavia, was published in the mid-1970s. His best-known book was something called A Tomb for Boris Davidovich, and he was championed in the United States by Susan Sontag. He died fairly young at the age of, I believe, 51. And if he had not, unfortunately, passed away at such a young age, I think he would have been a very solid contender for the Nobel Prize in Literature. Thompson's book really brings to the fore a writer that deserves to be much better known and much better remembered.
Michelle, how about any surprises in the choices for fiction and nonfiction? In fiction, we have a book that made a lot of noise this year, Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie. I hope I'm saying that properly. Americana. Alice McDermott's Someone. Javier Marias, The Infatuations, Ruth Ozeki's A Tale for the Time Being, and Donna Tartt's The Goldfinch, which everybody seems to be reading right now. What do you see in those nominees?
I think one of the things that's wonderful about the fiction list this year is the diversity of it, not just with the writers themselves, but with the different styles of writing we're seeing here. And I definitely wasn't surprised, like you said, about Donna Tartt. Everyone's talking about The Goldfinch. That made a lot of year-end best book of the year lists. And Javier Marias, I've long been a fan of his. I haven't read this new one, but again, I've heard it's wonderful. So it's...
And I think I was on your survey and listed it as my book of the year.
I think so. You did. Yeah, Eric, that's right. So maybe you could speak about it for a second. And were you surprised to see it on there? Or
I was just very pleased. It's one of the things that's really great about the NBCC that I'm really proud of as a member and as a board member is that we very strongly consider books in translation. And this is other book awards in the United States generally don't do that, but we do. If it's published in the United States in the calendar year 2013, we'll consider it. And Javier Marias' book in translation by a wonderful translator named Maria Jewel Costas is fantastic. And he's a Spanish writer who lives in Madrid and is one of the most exciting and original voices in literature writing anywhere in the world today.
Let's get to nonfiction, a category that we spend a lot of time with here on Word of Mouth. In fact, Kevin Cullen and Shelley Murphy's book about Whitey Bulger is one that we have spoken about here. Sherry Fink's 5 Days at Memorial, Life and Death in a Storm-Ravaged Hospital. David Finkel, thank you for your service. George Packer, another New Yorker writer, The Unwinding, The Inner History of the New America. And Lawrence Wright's book, Going Clear, Scientology, Hollywood, and the Prison of Belief. Eric, you spoke a little bit earlier about what the criticism category told us about where we are. What about these nonfiction books? Any themes you see running through these?
You know, I feel like there's a strong thread. They tend to be books written by journalists rather than creative nonfiction figures, as we've seen in the past. And I think that the journalistic impulse here, it's really about, so much of it is about the lives of our cities and about how cities have changed in the last 3 decades. We certainly see that with the Whitey Bulger book, which is a bit of a surprise to be on the nonfiction list of finalists. You see how cities have failed in the Sherry Fink, her book that takes place during Katrina. Mm-hmm. And you see the long decline of the city, I think, in George Packer's The Unwinding. You could almost even say that Lawrence Wright's book is a sort of partial ethnography of Hollywood today. And I think that the combination of those four with this real strong sense of place that you get in David Finkel's book, which follows a group of returning veterans from Iraq, it's a sort of remarkable sense of sort of journalistic etching out of place and particularly of cities. And that's a strong theme that unites, I think, all these titles.
Eric Banks, what a pleasure speaking with you today. Thank you so much for your time.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Eric Banks is a board member and past president of the National Book Critics Circle. He's also former editor-in-chief of Book Forum and former senior editor of Art Forum and the director of the New York Institute for the Humanities at NYU. Michelle Filgate, always a pleasure speaking with you. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Michelle Filgate is events coordinator at Community Bookstore in Brooklyn. She's also a writer and a critic and a member of the NBCC. If you'd like to see a complete list of all of the books nominated for NBCC awards, you can go to wordofmouthradio.org. Thank you so much for spending some time with us today. If you like what you heard, please do tell a friend. After all, the best stories do tend to travel via word of mouth. And here's something we've been hearing a lot about lately. Valentine's Day bites. We know the pressure to please or to be coupled up can be off-putting. So we'd like to hear from you. Do you secretly loathe Valentine's Day? Maybe not so secretly. Do you feel like you have to buy in to the Hallmark holiday? You can sound off with the haters on our anti-Valentine's Day hotline at 603-223-2448. Or to spell it out, that's 60 face a hit. I'm Virginia Prescott. Word of Mouth is back tomorrow at 2 with more stories to delight, surprise, and maybe even love.
Word of Mouth is produced by
Taylor Quimby,
Logan Shannon,
Zach Nugent,
and senior producer Maureen McMurray.
The views expressed in this program are those of the individuals
and not those of NHPR,
its board of trustees,
or its underwriters.
To subscribe to our podcasts and listen to past shows,
go to wordofmouthradio.org.
You can also join us on Facebook at Word of Mouth Radio,
follow us on Twitter at Word of Mouth,
and check out a playlist of music from the program on Spotify.
Word of Mouth is a production
of New Hampshire Public Radio.